Good morning. Well, are you ready? It's coming. Stand with me this morning. So we're just going to read scriptures for this morning. So stand with me as we read. It's not really a Christmas passage, but it has a lot to do with the coming of Messiah. Check this out. Jesus, early in his ministry, early in the Gospel of Luke, we read these words. It's in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everybody was praising him. And he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He went to church every Saturday. Do you know that? You guys, it's Sunday now, right? But synagogue on Saturday, it was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And Jesus, unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And now here it is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendants. He sat down at church, right? And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. They were locked into him. And he began saying to them, today, this scripture I just read from the prophet Isaiah is fulfilled in your hearing. Father, we love you this morning. It is the most wonderful time of the year, Lord, and it is the busiest time of the year. But Lord, we choose to come and worship you this morning. We've left our homes to come to this house of the Lord, to this gathering of believers. We ask, Lord, that you would send your Spirit upon us today, that you would open our eyes that we might see and touch our ears, we might hear the voice of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, just for everything you've given us this day. We come with hearts of gratitude and praise as we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And y'all may be seated. So this morning, I was talking with a young man who said that he's going to try to trap Santa tonight is the goal. That if he stays up long enough, did you ever try to do that? I found I couldn't get him. Santa's quick, right? Are you ready for tomorrow? There's a lot going on, right? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you bought all your presents? Because if you haven't, that's why you're not here, right? You're shopping right now. Even though you bought the present, have you wrapped them all up yet? I mean, baking, buying, foods and... Are you, signing Christmas? I bought my last present yesterday, and we're going to have a weird Christmas. Has anyone ever seen the movie Home Alone? You remember when Home Alone at the end where he's going to get the wet bandits? I have two sons that are police officers, and they're working tomorrow, so they're out looking for the wet bandits. We're not going to get to see our kids till the next day. Our kids have all grown up. It's kind of sad, but... Are you ready externally? Are you ready in your hearts? People, have you... It's funny when you look at Christmas. As a kid, for me, growing up, I love Christmas. When I look back on Christmas, I have all these memories. I grew up in Big Bear. I grew up in the snow. I had lots of white Christmases, snowball fights. The idea of Frosty the Snowman was a reality to me because we would make them. And we had snowmen out in front of our house many years during snow. When I think of Christmas as a little boy, it's wrapped with like Away in the Manger and Frosty the Snowman. And I'm going to be honest with you. My favorite part of Christmas starts with a P. Presents, presents, all for me. Right? Presents. For a lot of us in this room, my world as a little boy revolved around two dates. My birthday and Jesus' birthday because I got presents. It's funny, now that I'm older, I don't as much look forward to my birthday. Do I hear an amen? I don't celebrate my birthday like I used to. But you know, isn't there something special about Christmas as an adult now as I speak? As I look back on Christmas, even as an adult, I just have these wonderful memories. I just love this time of the year. The phone calls of talking with family, the get-togethers. I love the cooking that goes on. See, there's no diets at Christmas time, am I right? That starts January 1st, because we've abused the cookies. The foods are wonderful this time of year, the lights. I just love how I wish we could keep our stage like this all year. The lights on the homes, driving around and looking at Christmas lights. The memories of Christmas past, when we're putting up Christmas trees and looking at ornaments and seeing pictures of 30 years ago, you know? The memories of this thing. There's nothing like the songs of Christmas, right? O little town of Bethlehem, away in the manger, hark the herald angels sing, silent night. I was shopping yesterday and I kept saying Merry Christmas to everybody. And people are busy, you know? But I'd say Merry Christmas, they'd look at me and they'd smile, they'd go, Merry Christmas. Like, there's this, is it the Christmas spirit? It's here, isn't it? Don't you just love this time of the year? It's such an amazing time of the year. It is incredible. Now, when I look back at all my Christmases, and I've pondered this now for years, the epicenter of all my Christmas memories comes because of a baby born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, right? Whose delivery room was a stable in a cave. The baby whose his crib was actually a feeding trough for animals. That's his crib. His mattress was straw and hay. This little baby's parents was a lowly Jewish girl and a carpenter from the outskirts of Galilee called Nazareth. Very obscure. And yet when you think about this, the life of the baby Jesus has changed the face of the world. In our world, his birth separates time and how we date things from B.C. to A.D. And now we say with BCE, but it doesn't matter. It's all dated because of the birth of this baby. Do you know that your birthday's dating is related to his first birthday? Your dating of your birthday is related to him coming. The impact of this baby is off the charts. It's been said that with all the empires that have come and gone, and all the grand fleets that have sailed or armies that have marched, the parliaments that have met, none has impacted the world as much as this little baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Think about that. The coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago was a really, 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 really big deal. And it's actually the epicenter of all of your Christmas memories comes from this Jesus, if you really think it through. Isn't that awesome? And yet, I just want to, we're going to have fun this morning. As long as his first coming is this, and the impact that he has had on the world is this, which is off the charts, do you know that when he comes again, it's going to be a really, 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 really big deal. And if this one rocked the world, well, you haven't seen anything yet when you think about it. Early in Jesus' ministry, we read it this morning, at the age of 30, he lives in obscurity for 30 years. The prophesied child. And yet he begins. And early in his ministry, he goes to Nazareth. And people are freaking out. And he goes on the synagogue on Saturday. He was handed the scroll of Isaiah. He finds the scroll of Isaiah and he begins reading a prophecy. Should we read the text again? Luke 4, 12 through 21, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. John the Baptist, his baptism of the Spirit. News about him spread through the whole countryside. News of what? He's doing miracles. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. This is amazing, right? So he goes home. He goes back to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. What are you going to read? And he knew exactly what he was looking for. And it's a scroll. It wasn't a book. It's a papyrus. It's a scroll. He finds where it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor." The word anoint is Messiah, anointed one. He's speaking of Messiah. "To preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, the release of the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes was on him, right? Fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "See this scripture found in Isaiah 61? This is fulfilled today in me." The prophesied child has grown up, and now he's fulfilling prophecy. This is in your hearing. Okay, but have you ever read Isaiah 61? Okay, now, this Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus was born. And in Isaiah 61, I want to read to you the text that Jesus scrolled through. Because this is what it says. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. So I just want you to pay close attention to this. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." This is Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. This is what Jesus was reading. "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus doesn't say this, but these are the next words. "And the day of vengeance of our God." He didn't read that part. He stopped short of "the day of vengeance of our God." Jesus in the synagogue unrolls it and stops short. He says, "This is the favorable year of the Lord." And he rolls it up and says, "This part from here up is happening right now. Good news of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believeth upon him will not perish, but have everlasting life." The Messiah comes to proclaim good news. Time of healing of broken hearts. This is the time of Christ's coming. A time of liberty of mankind's spirits and souls. A time of spiritual freedom is given. All of this is ours at the coming of Jesus. Merry Christmas. Amen? All of this is the coming of Jesus. Merry Christmas. The good news of the gospel. Healing of the brokenhearted. Liberty of mankind's spirits. Spiritual freedom. It's all ours. This is the favorable year of the Lord, or it's a season of time of God's favor upon the earth. Judgment comes later in the second coming. Where Jesus stops reading in Isaiah 61, 2,000 years have passed, and we're still celebrating his first coming. We're going to do it tomorrow. The first coming, God touched the world in wonderful ways. People, none of you are working tomorrow. You all have a vacation because of Jesus. School is out. Hallelujah. We receive forgiveness and an opportunity of right relationship with God, all because of the first coming of the Messiah. But can we have fun? If the first coming's a really big deal, what do you think his second coming's going to look like? If humanity has been celebrating his first coming for 2,000 years, how do you think they're going to celebrate his second coming? How different will His second coming be from His first coming? Have you ever thought this through? I want you to take notes with me this morning. We're just going to have fun with this one real quick. You ready? But take notes with me this morning. In His first coming, there was sporadic angelic appearances. In His first coming, when Jesus came, angelic appearances was isolated. They were sporadic. They were here and there, right? There was angelic appearances at the temple with John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah. Angels came to Mary. The angels came to the shepherds in the fields, right? The angel shows up and says, I bring you good news of great joy for all humanity, for in the city of David, an angel, you know, the Savior's been born, right? And then as one angel is speaking, I like in Luke 2, and I just want to read this 13 and 14, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those in whom His favor rests. That there was angelic manifestations at the coming of Jesus in the first coming. There was an angel, and then there was a worship team of angels. A worship team. And it was awesome. That's pretty cool. Can I share with you that when He comes again, He's coming with an angelic army. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 14. Revelation 19, 11 through 14. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. His name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him. Armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies of heaven. Can you picture this? We were talking, so every week the pastors get together and we look over the sermon, and we were talking about this, and we began, all of us were in a sense of awe. We began thinking about Matthew 26. When Jesus was going to the cross, Peter decided to defend Jesus, and he took out a sword and he was going to fight the Romans, and he cut off some dude's ear, and Jesus told him to put away your sword, Peter. He says, don't you know that at my command I have at my access 12 legions of angels? Peter, I don't need you to protect me. What do you think 12 legions of angels look like? Well, a Roman legion had 5,000 soldiers. So if he's speaking in the context of the day, what does 60,000 angels look like? In 2 Kings, we read that God sent an angel of the Lord and in one night destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel. In one night. What do you think is the destructive power of 12 legions of angels? What do you think is the destructive power of 60,000 angels? And yet, when you read closely in the book of Revelation, it says that angels, there's myriads upon myriads, or some might say 200 million, or there is no number. Would anyone like to see what that would look like? The world will see this one day. At His second coming, there will be an angelic army. There's your note. Does that make anyone just kind of pause for a moment? Go, oh my goodness. Take this one down. In His first coming, He came in weakness and humility. When Jesus came, He came in weakness and humility. And here's the passage, Luke 2. verses 4 through 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there's no room for him at the inn. Is there anything more vulnerable than a newborn baby, anyone? God becoming flesh in Messiah and dwelling among us as a baby? That is incredible humility and weakness. God becomes flesh and dwells among us. The first time he comes, he's humble. You know, I love when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls." That's the heart of God. Did you know God's not walking around going, His spirit, God is an amazing personality. Aren't you glad to know that God's not a bully? Isn't that cool? The next time he comes, write this down, he's coming with in power and great glory. Compare the two. Coming with great power and glory. And let me read more of Revelation 19. This is 15 through 19. The book of Revelation. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. This is when he comes again. It says in Genesis that God spoke and things came into existence. The Word of God, he's called the Word of God. Can you imagine Jesus speaking and instead of creation coming, destruction comes from the word of his mouth? That's called power. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter and tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh he has written in his name, King of Kings, people, and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small." And then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. Can you imagine wanting to even fight this? Joel chapter 2 is a great text. 10 and 11 says, "Before them the earth shakes, the sky trembles, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine." I like verse 11. "The Lord thunders at the head of his army." The Lord thunders at the head of an amazing angelic army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Great question. The day of the Lord or the day of judgment on the earth. Merry Christmas? Take notes of me. In his first coming, he is the Lamb of God who is sent to save us. In his first coming, he's the Lamb of God who comes to save us. Right? Jesus, early in John the Baptist, it says in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." There he is. The first time Messiah comes, he's the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. But when he comes again, here's note number 6. At his second coming, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, sent to rule over his creation. back in the very first book of the Bible, the prophecy is in Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Did you know that Jesus' ancestral.com goes to the tribe of Judah? When he comes again, people, he will come to rule over creation. Here's a text. We're reading scripture this morning. Is that okay? Zechariah chapter 14, 3 through 9. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. And on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to the west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and the half moving south. And you will flee by the mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. And you will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. And on that day there will neither be sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. And on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it to the Dead Sea in the east, and the other half to the west, the Mediterranean, in summer and winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. And on that day there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Note number 7, in his first coming, few came to meet him. Did you know that? It's like that silent night. No one knew it was coming. Merry Christmas. The first time God entered humanity, it was stealth. No one even noticed. No one came. Very few came to meet him, except sheep and cattle and shepherds and some wise men from the east. His first coming. Note number 8. At his second coming, the kingdoms of the world will come to meet him. At his second coming, the kingdoms of the world are going to meet him. Here's a text I spoke of recently. This is an incredible text, written 1,000 years before Jesus was born, from King David, Psalm 2. It's hard to, you just have to listen to it. This is still coming. Psalm 2 says this: why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the word Messiah. The rulers band together against the anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. So the kings of the earth see God is the problem of everything. The one enthroned in heaven looks down at this attitude and laughs. And the Lord scoffs at them, and he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. My son will rule the earth, and you don't have a say. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. And now, Jesus says, He said to me, You are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me when I will make the nations your inheritance. The ends of the earth is your possessions. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate His rule with trembling. Kiss His Son. Did you know that the Messiah will be called the Son of God? Kiss His Son, or He will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For His wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. Blessed are all those who take refuge in Messiah. Blessed is all those who take refuge in Jesus. Blessed is all those who accept Messiah Christ. You're blessed. It's a silent night. He came. It was so silent when He came in. But it's not going to be so silent the next time. Amen? No atheists at His second coming. Isn't that incredible to think about as an ex-atheist? There will be no atheists at the second coming of Jesus. All will believe. But at that time, there's going to be a spirit that God is the reason for all of our problems, and He needs to be confronted. God needs to be taken out. And just like God told the world where His Son was going to be born, where does God say that His Son is to be born? Bethlehem, right? Where does God say, if you want a piece of my Son, I'll tell you where to get Him? Where is Son of God coming a second time? You want a piece of my kid? I'll tell you exactly where to come and talk to Him. It's going to be at a place called the Valley of Armageddon. Revelation. In the prophecies, my Son will be born in Bethlehem. And it is. Hey, if you want a piece of my Son and you want to fight Him, I'll tell you right where He'll be waiting for you. I'll even tell you where He's coming. Valley of Armageddon. The first time Jesus came, the king, King Herod, wanted to kill Him. The first time Jesus came, King Herod wanted to kill Him. The second time Jesus comes, the kings of the earth are going to want to kill Him. But they're going down. How do you fight God, people? Have you prepared your hearts for Christmas? Have you prepared your hearts to recognize and realize the coming of Christ and what it means? When Jesus is at that in the synagogue, He says, I'm here. And He says, and He stops right before the day of vengeance of our God. And He says, no, this is the favorable year of the Lord. This is the time where I bring good news of the gospel. The time of healing of the brokenhearted, a time of liberty of mankind's spirits, a time of spiritual freedom, a time to be born again and born anew, a born from above, a time of forgiveness and healing. He says, this is why I've come. This is my coming. Are you guys ready? Have you prepared your heart for this? You know that this little one was born to die. Jesus came and grew up. Advent means the coming. The Advent. We're talking about His coming. Have you prepared for your heart to realize what His coming means to you? Have you at least the day before Christmas, have you prepared your heart to realize what the second Advent's going to look like? Do you know that His first coming prepares you so you won't have to deal with His second? His first coming prepares you so you won't have to be a recipient of the second coming of the day of judgment of our God. Both of His comings are a really big deal. I want you to take, here's a great last note. Here it is, note number 9. There are more prophecies about His second coming recorded in the Scriptures than His first. It's really specific. Merry Christmas, right? Pastor Frank, why hasn't he come back yet? Isn't that a good question? Hey, guys, why hasn't he come back yet? Does anyone in here know why he hasn't come back yet? I asked Pastor Frank, what's he waiting for? Pastor Frank, why hasn't he come back yet? And that's a great question. Can I close with the last scripture? Here's one. At least one of the reasons why he hasn't come back yet is because of this. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And Peter says this, because people were asking Peter, Peter, it's been 35 years, why hasn't he come back yet? But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping with his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There it is. Why hasn't he come back yet? Because he's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish and everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It's all coming. But he's waiting. Salvation, people. God is waiting a little bit longer. He's still waiting for people are still coming. And praise the Lord. As you know, my brother accepted the Lord 2 years ago, and I'm really glad that the Lord was patient, because I've been praying for my brother for a long time. I'm sure there were probably people waiting, asking the question in 1985, why not now? But that's when I came. That's when I bowed my knee. And he's like, no, Frank's even coming. No way. Kicking and screaming. The reason why the Advent hasn't come a second time is because God, in his sovereign will, has been waiting for 2,000 years for the good news of the gospel to be proclaimed, for salvation to come. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. That's the good news. And God is still waiting. But here's the truth. A day will come when God's patience will grow weary. There's a time coming where God's going to say that's about enough. Have you realized that our propensity for evil is off the charts? When you look at the history books of humanity, have you noticed how disgusting we are? Do you realize? Here's a true one. Here's a true one. My argument against you people so long ago was, there can't be a God, because if there is, he needs to be judged. Look at all the evil in the world. If there is a God, then that God should be judged. How can he sit and wait for all this evil to take place? If there is a God, he's terrible, because look at all the evil in the world. That was an argument I used to use. So what was I asking God to do? To get rid of evil, right? What's he supposed to do with me? If God's going to... God should terminate all evil. If that's true, then what's he supposed to do with you? Have you ever lied? Okay, honesty. Who in here has never lied? Raise your hand. Honesty. You liar. You're all liars in this room, aren't you? Is there anyone in this room that has never stolen a thing in his life ever? You're a lying thief, aren't you? And you want to go to heaven. Murder, violence, slander. We are sick human beings. Have you noticed this? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Merry Christmas. I come to bring good news of great joy for all people, for today in the town of David, a Savior will be born. You know what God does with evil? He transforms it, or He'll terminate it. You will either be transformed by the Holy Spirit through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or God will judge you one day, and that is the truth. And a judge that doesn't judge is not a good judge. Right? People? A judge that allows evil to happen, is that a good judge? Answer? God is holy. He has to judge, and He will. But for God so loves the world, He gives His Son. When Messiah comes, He's come to set you free. People, do you realize this? In His first coming, Jesus in His first coming takes all of your judgment upon Himself, and on the cross, He dies for you. He takes all of your stuff, every lie that you ever said, He paid for it. Every lie that you're planning to say today. Every lying on your tax return. He's already got it. Good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. Morally perfect people. Do you know any? For everyone else, I got great news for you. Jesus has come. You really need this Christmas child in your life. So for all of you that are here today, when you begin to ponder and think about not just what the first coming of Jesus has done in the world, and think of how the whole world, its whole dating system has been created because of His coming. All of the memories, all of the impact of Jesus' first coming just upon the world. But when you think about upon your life, and not just upon all your past Christmas memories, but think about what He's done in your eternal soul and how He prepares you for heaven. And how you have, judgment has gone past you. The judgment of God is override you because Christ paid your debt on the cross. This is amazing stuff, people. The impact of Messiah is huge. And for all those that blow Him off, that's cool. He'll deal with you too. That's just the way it is. Merry Christmas. If you think His first coming was a big deal, people, you ain't seen nothing yet. I just said ain't. This is a fun thing to ponder and think about. Will 2024 be the year when He comes again? How will the world celebrate His second coming? Forever. Forever, however long that is. I wonder what He's doing. Why is He waiting? If you're here today and you're on the fence with Jesus, do you know you're one of the reasons why He's waiting? If you're here today and you're on the fence with Jesus, you need to say yes to Him. You actually need Him more than you realize. What are you waiting for? For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved from what? From judgment. God will deal with you one way or another. What are you waiting for? Jesus says you're either for me or against me. There's no Switzerland with Jesus. You can't be neutral with Him. To not be for Him is to be against Him. I pray that this Christmas season that you will accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I pray that this Christmas you'll move beyond Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells and realize that you need Him. May you receive the coming of Messiah in your life. And in doing so, you're prepared. Father, I thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for tomorrow. It's a great day. Lord, tomorrow we're celebrating the birth of Messiah coming to the earth. Father in heaven, we're thankful that You sent Your Son into the world. And Lord, tomorrow we're going to celebrate His birthday. And Lord, His birthday is so big. And when we begin to ponder it as children, as adults, there's times when we can almost become speechless at what it means and how the birth of Jesus has completely changed our lives. Not just the world, but our eternal souls. We celebrate and worship You this morning, Lord. We praise You, God, for Your goodness in our lives. We thank You that You are loving and kind and patient. We thank You, Lord, that You are humble and gentle in heart. We're thankful, Lord, that You care for us, that we're valuable to You, that You know us by name, and that we're special in Your sight. We're thankful, Lord, that Jesus would love us so much that He would die and take our place. That's incredible. He's our atonement of sin. How blessed we are in this room. We celebrate Christmas tomorrow. And Lord, this morning we just come to worship You in spirit and truth, and to ponder these spiritual things. And Lord, I really want to know what 60,000 angels look like. I pray, Lord, for that day that maybe I could watch from a distance or something. I think that will be awesome. This world has not even begun to see what Jesus is capable of doing and the motives and the reasons behind it all. Help us, Lord, to be humble this morning. Help us to worship You this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Was that a Christmas message? It was. So here's a tradition at our church. Every year, the last Sunday before Christmas, I love the idea of the wise men coming and bringing their gifts unto the Lord. And so we have these Christmas boxes here, and we have a thing called the birthday gift to Jesus. And I like this because, and my wife and I were talking about this. You know, everything that we have is the Lord's as a Christian. By the way, if you're here and you're not a believer, please give nothing. We don't need your money. Jesus doesn't need your money. We're just glad you came, and we just want you to meet Him and know Him. For those of you that are His disciples, you are that His followers, everything that we have belongs to Him. He owns the cattle on every hill. He owns you. He owns everything you have. We're just stewards of His resources. Everything is His. We talk about this, that at the last Sunday of the year, we're going to sing a song called The Offering. And we make our lives as an offering, and we're just, I love this. If you want to give unto the Lord at the end of this last Sunday of 2023, just come up here and, can I ask you to worship? To come up here and say, God, I worship You in giving. I thank You for providing for me today. It's an act of faith. We worship unto the Lord. So we're going to sing a song called The Offering, and you're saying you're giving your life as an offering to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you want to worship in giving, we promise that every penny that you give will be given for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus. So Lord, even now I pray, God, for this offering. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that You would multiply the offering as You would the fish and the loaves. Thank You, Lord, that this church is here today in the city of Irvine. And that this community of believers have a place to gather, and we're not underneath a tree out in a park. This is a great building that we can come and dedicate to Christ. Thank You, Lord, for all the people that are a part of this Jesus community. We ask, God, that You would just continue to provide for all of us as we live in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Do I hear an amen?